Welcome to the Showrunner Training Series presented by the Animation Guild Writers Craft Committee. I'm Cassie Soliday, a volunteer with the Guild, and today I'm joined by Brandon Huang. So Brandon is currently a writer over on The Ghost and Molly McGee, but today we're going to dive into his time as a current series executive at Nickelodeon on projects like SpongeBob SquarePants, Harvey Beaks, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Glitch Techs, and so much more. So Brandon, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for organizing this, Cassie. This is awesome. I'm so glad you're doing this for the Guild. It's really cool.
Yeah, we're so excited to be able to do it. I think it's going to help a lot of people. But first, I'd love to learn a little about how you got started in animation and what your career trajectory has been. Keep this brief, as we'll mostly be focusing on showrunning topics.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. My first internship was at Will Vinton Studios, right as it was becoming Laika. That was my first internship working on Moon Girl, and that was my first taste in the animation of the animation biz. And then always knew I wanted to work in animation, loved the medium. I eventually got started as an assistant working under two current series executives over at Nickelodeon. So some of my first shows were Fanboy and Chum Chum, Planet Sheen. And then from there, I like rise that corporate ladder and became a coordinator. And then I became a manager and then director. And then I was at Nickelodeon for 10 years. I worked on both, as an executive, I worked on both 22-minute scripted shows, action adventures genre. I also worked on 11-minute board-driven shows. So I worked everything. And then I was there at Nick for 10 years. Then I went to Netflix, and I was there doing on their kids and family animation team, doing both current and development work. I was there for less than a year before I got an opportunity to join the writer's room for the live action Avatar series over at Netflix. And that's where my writer career kind of went from there.
That's so wild. I definitely recommend everyone look up Brandon's other interviews because it's just such a wild ride. but today we are focusing on providing information to new showrunners, whether they were already in animation or are maybe a live action writer who sold a show and are about to dive into production. So to start, what does a current series executive do?
So I want to say first that current series is not development. There are a lot of studios that do both duties. They do both current and development work, but a misconception I've heard a lot of people have are like, they don't know what current series does. It's like development's the flashy, like green light, take pictures exec. But no, current series is you are the network representative that oversees your shows that are in production, that are currently greenlit, that are in production. And you are the show's representative back to the network. You're supposed to be you're like the expert on all your shows, and you are representing, like when anyone has a question from the network side, we all know that networks, businesses, these huge companies have a bunch of different departments and such that are working for your show. They're not all experts. They're going to go to someone on their team on the network side that knows it. That's what you do as a current series executive. So not only are you overseeing production, but you're also doing, you're kind of this octopus, right? You're doing the production work of overseeing the production, making sure it's on time, on budget, working closely with your line producer and your showrunners to make sure that everything's going smoothly on the production side. Giving notes on scripts, premise, outline, storyboards, going to mixes, animatics, every locked picture, rough cuts, all that stuff. You're giving notes on all this stuff, but you're also doing stuff where you are approved, like talking to consumer products, making sure that the stuff they're churning out is good for the show and represents the show. You're approving press art, making sure that artwork on DVD covers and things that go out are up to snuff. They're good, they're quality, the showrunner's happy. So you're kind of this octopus that kind of has arms in all these different departments, making sure that everything's working smooth. That's my best way to describe what we do as current series executives.
Yeah. So there's a lot on your plate, and you're basically a super fan. And do you have multiple shows while you're a current series exec?
Yeah. And I love that you said super fan, because yes, they really are super fans of your show. And if they are not, then they're not a good executive, straight up. Like that's how it goes. Yes, multiple shows. Yes. And it all depends on what studio you go to. At Netflix, you know, I was working on upwards of like 5, 6, 7 shows at a time. But Nickelodeon, when I was there, it was common for someone to have like probably around three shows. And you try not to give more than that, because obviously the more shows you have on your plate, the less attention, less time you can give to each one. So I've always, I think that's probably around. I don't know how many shows at other studios, like, you know, Cartoon Network or anything like that, but I say like probably 3-4 shows is probably like the average.
Very interesting. Can you go into like the general interactions that executives have with their showrunners?
Yeah, I mean, you are very, very close to your showrunners. You are almost connected. You're connecting or having a meeting with them almost every day, right? I mean, some shows need more hand-holding than others, like especially earlier shows, you're things going, but, you know, but like in more seasoned shows, sometimes you won't have meetings with those showrunners on a day-to-day basis, but most of the time you're touching base with them almost at every step of the way. Because like I said, you're doing notes meetings with them on the writing side. You're at every single stage, you're doing notes, giving notes, talking story, attending pitches with showrunners. Some studios have you go to attend mixes and with showrunners as well. You're at every production meeting. So you're involved with showrunners quite a bit. And their showrunners are going to go to you I'm saying you as an executive, I don't know why, but so part of that, they're going to go your executive for anything that they have a problem with. They have any issues with any issue they want to bring up, they're always going to go to the executive first.
So you had mentioned some shows need more hand-holding than others. Can you, like, without going into specific detail, like, are there any missteps that could have been avoided? Like, what advice can you give new showrunners to,
Yeah, I mean, I think I mostly mean that almost every early show, it's going to be a lot of hand-holding, because everyone's trying, I mean, not only as a showrunner, you're trying to figure out where your show is, but, like, the executive that's on your show is figuring it out too. So like, that's what I mean by a lot of handholding. Like your first season, especially, with a lot of handholding. It depends too, like what your show is in regards of how much, every show has a different level of, like, you know, for example, what am I say here? Not problems per se, but like more complications, you know, for example, you know, SpongeBob has a lot of attention on it, right? Big show, SpongeBob's going to get a lot of like departments that need stuff from them. So, you know, there's a lot of like things that, as an executive is going to be checking in with you on to make sure, you're happy as a show, like as a showrunner, that you're happy and you're staying happy. Other shows that don't have quite that much attention yet don't have that handholding, but in regards to problems that you could be avoided, I think it's inevitable that your first season is going to be you're going to get a lot of attention, and so I don't know if there's any I'm trying to think of like problems you can avoid. I don't know. Know the process, you know, especially if you're, you mentioned you're talking about like live action writers that are diving in and running animated shows. You better know how animation is produced. You know what I mean? Like that seems like a common thing, but like you should know, you know, especially if you are someone that's a writer only and like, you know, just writing, you need to know every aspect in every department pretty well and like how they operate. I've seen some, I've heard horror stories from people that have hired their friends, and don't hire your friends, as hard as that is, especially because animation is such a small world. We're all friends with everyone, right? We're so friends with everyone, you want to hire all your buddies. And there's been problems where like friends have had children have had to fire their friends because of complications, and like that seems like one you can easily avoid. Not to say that you shouldn't ever not hire your friends, but just like it's something you should be cautious about before you start like hiring everyone. Like make sure you know what you're doing and if this is really the right choice you want to do. Sorry, that's a bit rambly, but those are some ones that come to the top of mind.
Yeah. And you're so right about knowing how animation works and how it's made. And we will be going over the animation production pipeline in a different video.
Great.
So everyone check that out. Okay, so executive notes. Some folks dread them, others embrace them. Can you talk about the note process?
I mean, you're going to find different executives have different ways of giving their notes. The best way I found out with my experience is that I would start off with the, again, very beginning when I was meeting showrunners and writers, I'd be like, look, I'm just one opinion. And this is just how I ran as an executive. I was like, this is my opinion. I'm someone that's coming from the outside with fresh eyes. Use it as such. Like, and I always just reiterate that, right? Like, I'm not the word of God. I'm not like, you have to make this address this note, unless it's something that's like not appropriate for the network, you know, not something that's like super controversial. Like, you're gonna have those notes that are, there are notes you're gonna have to give, or you're gonna have to take without like, because it's you have to. But for the most part, whenever I gave notes as an executive, I was like, this is my opinion. Take it or leave it. And if someone took all my notes without any pushback on anything, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, we'll do everything. I found that so unsettling and weird. I'm like, why are you? You know what I mean? It's a conversation. It's always a conversation. And a good executive and a good showrunner will treat it as such. It's just like, you know, they're conversations, and you're gonna get, and it's a process that you should embrace, because you can't escape it. It's gonna happen at every stage, and you're gonna get them a lot. You're gonna have at premise, at outline, at first draft, second draft, record draft, animatic, storyboard, second revised boards. You know what I mean? You're gonna get it all the time. So, I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yes, completely. So now that you're a writer, like, can you think of any examples of how your executive background influences how you write?
Yeah, I think that I mean, yeah, this is like one of the hardest questions that you actually had, that I was like, I got to think about hard about this one. I think that as an executive, you are cognizant of the competition. What, you know, I mean, you should be watch. They're watching a lot of shows. They're watching not only the shows that are on the slate at the studio that you're at, but also like other studios, and you're just very aware of like other studios. So it's like, you, when you are writing, you are taking like what worked at other places. You know what I mean? Like, what are the things that like shows that have been successful? Why are they successful? And you try to like you know, you're trying to take like cherry picks, like some of the good stuff from like that, like specifics. Like, it's hard to think of specifics, but you're just, the more you know, the more you watch, which is what an executive does, the more you can, the more you have the more tools you have in your toolbox, right? Like, if you're only like watching one show, and like I just emulate that one show and I write for that one show, you're not gonna be able to pull, your toolbox is gonna be very limited. But you know, the good thing about when I was an executive is I was watching so much. I was watching so many episodes of the, you know, 22-minute action shows, 11-minute straight comedies, all across, you know, different networks. So like, the more you are able to watch stuff and pull from stuff, like the better your writing's gonna be. And I think too, like, you're not precious about anything. I think as the other thing too is that as an executive, you know, you're always going to be flexible on the executive side. So like, when you're, that translates well to your writing as well. Like, nothing's precious, right? Like,
Yeah.
the more you hold on to something, the more like, you know, like you could have a joke that you love so much, and like if it passes, I mean, Cassie, you know, right? You have that one joke. Everyone's got their beloved jokes from like the beginning. And if it makes it all the way through to record and gets it into that final pass, it's a miracle. But like, and I feel like that flexibility is something that's like really, really like, because that's also executive life too. Like, you can't be precious to anything, because it could go at any moment, and you have no choice. I don't know. Does that answer your question for that one? That was a
Totally.
hard one. That was a really hard
Yeah.
question.
I was like, I want to ask this question. I'm not sure how it relates to showrunning, but I mean, showrunners need to be flexible too and like choose what hills they kind of go to battle on. You know, soft battle, not hard one, of course.
Man, there was a really great thread. I mean, again, I don't know if this is gonna help anyone, because I don't know where this is gonna air, but like, Marissa Balkis, she's an executive over at Crunchyroll. She did this big Twitter thread about what about the North Star and what it means to you know, follow, I don't know if you saw that. It's a great thread about like following your star. She put it in a way better way, articulated it in a way better way, I'm saying, but it was a great one too about like how to be flexible, how to work and how to be cooperative as a showrunner. While also staying true to what you, the core values of your show. Anyway, I don't know. It was a good one. I'm not going to be.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, I feel like there was also like the North Star. If you stay on it, then all your conversations can be filtered through that desire for the vision that you're working towards. Yeah. And that's how like a lot of conversations can be kind of navigated. Yeah, it was very good. Definitely look her up on Twitter.
Well put. That was great. Yeah.
So it's easy to only want to focus on the creative aspects of running a show, but there's also production to be mindful of. Can you talk about the balance that needs to be sustained between both?
Yeah, I might be repeating myself from like what we said earlier, but like it really is about knowing and respecting that pipeline and just knowing it. Like, you know, I feel like you should know how long things take, right? Like you should know, what you're asking of your team. I mean, you are. It's really, really, I mean, I know there are people that like, showrunners, like really, really excited about the writer's room, right? Like that's their thing. They love the writer's room. They stay, and I've seen some shows, they'll stay mostly in the writer's room. Like that's what they're comfortable with. So they'll just stay there all the time. And like, what happens is that you start to like have this resentment build up from your other teams, you know, your design team, your board team, because they're not getting the same FaceTime with you. This could go back to also like, we're talking about like easy things that you can avoid, like mistakes you can avoid, right?
Totally.
I mean, but you can't like, even though you might like love, really, really love like one portion of your, of the whole production pipeline, you really can't just like stay comfortable and like hide out in that one area. You really have to like spread yourself out, which is why a lot of showrunners like are like, it's like the hardest job they've ever had, right? Because it's so exhausting. There's only so many hours in a day. There's only so much energy you can put out there. But you really have to know how long things take, build a team with your line producer being like, I know what is going to, you know, what I know how many like board artists I'm going to need for, you know, to execute this. I know how many teams of board artists are going to, you know, need to do this. I know like what kind of animatic editor I need. You know what I mean? You need to know every single thing, even though it might not be like the you know, the sexiest thing that in your position, like it's the one that everything's important. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So you worked on so many titles, like you must have seen great examples of leadership as well as some poor or needing improving and people who are just trying their best. So like, do you have any insight that you can lend us about running a show well? Like what should incoming EPs look out for when being mindful of how they steer their ship?
Yeah, I mean, there's I think that this is a good one to kind of like, again, what I just said before about like, you know, making sure you're giving showrunners have this, when you get a show greenlit and you get that title of showrunner, you're starting a show, you are like the, you're almost like a superhero, like a Greek god, Greek goddess, right? I mean, you are, everyone is like vying for your attention at all the time. This goes for the network side too. Like executives going to want your attention, your team's going to want your attention, everyone, all these different teams want your attention. So I think the good showrunners respect each position, respect each member of their team. And also as well as recognizing that their executive is also part of their team. At least for me working on the network side, like I always loved when, the showrunners would bring us into meetings or, you know, bring us into meetings as like, because they felt that we contributed something versus like as an obligation being like, we got to bring the executive in for something. You know what I mean? Because then it makes the executive want to work hard. Like I like to work with the show. We're all human beings. This person's treating me like with respect. And like, once my help, I'm going to be more than happy to help them. I'm going to want to hang around them and give them as much support as I can. So I think like the really good showrunners are the ones that are able to spread themselves out and give attention and give respect to like each one of their departments as well as their executive. And Those are and also I would say the other thing is that a showrunner that like has an opinion and doesn't waffle. I mean, that was so, you know what I mean? Like, there are showrunners that like waffle and they think too much. And like, you're making a show, like it's time is money. Like, so like everyone's waiting on your decision to make stuff happen. So like, the ones that have an opinion and like, and that's not to say you can't be thoughtful on things. Like, of course you want everyone to, you want to be thoughtful and you want to take your time to, you know, you're making decisions that make the best show possible, but the ones that kind of hot and change their minds and are all over the place are the ones that like you frustrate. You're gonna kill your schedule. You're gonna piss off your line producer, and you're gonna make your attitude, your behavior, your decisions have this ripple effect across everyone else. So make decisions, make them quickly, and stand by them.
Yeah. So in talking about the ripple effect that happens when like you waffle or like take too long to make that decision, like, I want to ask if you have any horror stories, but I don't want you to be specific either, but like, it's a huge deal because you can eat up your schedule and you can eat up your budget. Like,
yeah.
From an executive point of view, like what happens if that comes to reality?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what you're, I mean, I can't say better than actually what you just said. I mean, you're, like you said, it affects, you're going to start, you know, you're going to run out of money. And when you run out of money to do stuff, because you're going over budget, you're going over schedule, you are going to not be able, like, it's kind of like, it's, you got to look at it like you're getting an allowance, right? And like, you blow through your Christmas money, you know what I mean? Like, you are not going to be able to have the cool toys. You're not gonna be able to do the cool stuff that you want to do. And your show's gonna suffer because of it. So like, that's what I mean by this ripple effect of like every decision you make has a consequence. Which is the fun and exciting thing about being a showrunner, and you know, also like the scary part and the stressful part about being a showrunner. But it's exactly what you said. The longer you take on things, if you go over budget, if you aren't like simpatico with your line producer, and your line producer is like waving their arms, there's a big problem, and you keep going. It's gonna have problems down the line. You're gonna be able to like, you know, you get episodes cut short, right? You'd be like, well, you can't do this episode that you wanted to do, or your episode order gets cut short. Like I've seen it happen. It's yeah, I don't know. You don't want that to happen, right?
Yeah, and you have all the people on your crew expecting to work longer with those episodes before they get cut. Like,
yeah, great example. Great
so
example.
Much responsibility on this role.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm so grateful that you made time to speak with us, and I don't want to take up more of your time. But I would love to get any more advice you may have for a new showrunner having to hit the ground running. Like, what do you think is the most important to know about running an animated show?
Yeah, and like again, it's weird because I also want to say that like I've never been a showrunner, so there are so many good resources out there, like Children of Tendu. Like, if you listen to that podcast, it's amazing. Mm, it's such great. A great resource about for that's a live action for live action shows, but it's there are good stuff in there for across all productions. But I would say from the trying to take it to an executive, like. From an executive point of view, stay curious about how things work outside of your production. And I said this earlier, like, you know, your executive is not your enemy. They're your friend. They're your, they're supporting you. They want your social success. They're getting paid that sweet, sweet executive chitty to make your show successful. So they really want you to succeed. Tough decisions that get made from the executive side are, just remember that, like, tough decisions, most of the time, it's not your executives. You're, at least from the current series side, like, it's usually not their fault. You know what I mean? It's a huge machine. People have heard this phrase all the time when it comes to this business, but it's a business. So I would say stay curious, you know, stay friendly, stay chummy with your executive, and like, don't be afraid to even introduce yourself and to make yourself available to other departments. You know, I know that things should always be filtered through your executive first, but it's never a bad thing to have someone on the press team like know you on a first name basis, or someone on the consumer products team, or someone in publishing. You know what I mean? Like, as if you're someone that's like friendly and you're make yourself available and you're someone that like people want to work with, it's going to be, these seem like obvious answers, but like they're ones that people, I think it's a good thing to remind people of and that they should take to heart. So yeah.
You're thrown in the deep and you're not really thinking of the reasonable things you should be doing. So this is a great reminder.
And like I said, you know, the other thing is that, you know, a show just like, and I've kind of touched on this earlier, running a show isn't just about the production side too. It's about all the other arms of the business that are supporting your show. And like, I listed those off when I talked about what a creative series executive does, but it's a good thing to remember that too, that like, mm-hmm. anything about running a show, you're also needing to take care of all these other things that are going to be out there. Like, you're going to have to be approving a model that's going to go on a box of McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, things like that.
Mm. Wow. So on that note, we'll wrap up, but do you have anything to plug, social media or any current or upcoming projects?
What am I doing? I mean, I'm on Twitter, Brandon Huang _, that's my Twitter handle. I talk about animation stuff on there, occasionally. I got a book coming out, fall 2022.
Congrats.
It's called This Could Have Been a Love Story. I don't know. Is that a good plug?
Those are great plugs. Well, thanks so much for your time, Brandon. This interview will be posted along with some other videos in the training program, so please be sure to check it out. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cassie.